Over the past few months, Jewish centers in New Jersey as well as around the country have received bomb and terrorist threats. While it currently appears that an Israeli teen who was arrested this past week is the culprit of at least some of these threats, the series of events against Jewish centers have both created a call to protective actions by those with intelligence and, unfortunately, expressions of hatred against Jews by the ignorant. My first guest today is here to discuss the impact of these threats and the voices which have come together in strength to overcome them. He is the executive director of the New Jersey State Association of Jewish Federations, as well as a founding member of the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition, Jacob Toporek. Thank you for being here today, sir.
Sure. Happy to do it.
And respective websites, and of course, we have them linked over at our page for the New Jersey State Association of Jewish Federations, jewishheartnj.org, and for the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition, njifc.org. And just as a foundation, what is the mission, the goal for the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition?
Oh, the mission is for groups of similar goodwill to come together to make certain that we foster mutual respect. We foster programs and services that will bring people together, that will make people aware that diversity is a strong point, and that we can talk to each other, that we can be there for each other, that we can create a foundation from which we can build trust in each other and work together to bring our society as one voice in terms of condemning hatred and bigotry and just being there for each other. It's very, very important.
And for a relatively new organization, it's you've gathered a very impressive list of outlets and religious centers who want to be a part of this mission.
Right, and it wasn't really created in a vacuum, and it just didn't happen overnight. Members of the coalition, especially our founder, Ali Chaudhry, has been doing this for a long period of time. I've worked together with Ali on a number of projects before this, and certainly this is where we were headed. I think we spoke loudly. People heard. They said to us what we were doing was good and it was beneficial and it was a good purpose, and we morphed into the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition. There have been attempts over the years, and I've been in my position for almost 10 years, and I've been through a number of attempts where various ethnic and religious communities and faith-based communities have tried to get together. It's been successful, mostly in terms of advocacy on issues, but there hasn't been this coalition building that Ali began.
Now, regarding the series of threats that we've seen and vandalism that we've seen, too, even in the tri-state area with the Jewish cemetery just outside of Philadelphia, in New Jersey alone, there have been 19 incidents of bomb threats being reported and other threats at religious facilities throughout the state. Crimes against both Jewish and Muslim New Jerseyans, the spike in 2016, religiously motivated hate crimes have been in decline to a rising 10%. Last year, those most recent stats that we have, and there's no doubt that the numbers for 2016 will be higher as well. When a bomb threat or any type of threat is made at a religious center, in this case the Jewish centers, how does that impact a community?
Well, there's a major, major impact. First of all, the anxiety, the fear. But let me sort of start and indicate that within the Jewish community, we've actually been under the gun for many, many years. And as a result, we've sort of become a culture of that deals with security matters, that's concerned with the safety and vulnerability of our institutions and of our community members. And so we have made it a priority to make sure that we have protocols in place, that we build relationships with local law enforcement. And if there's any sort of silver lining for these threats is that it's been proven that our protocols worked, that the evacuations of the buildings took place efficiently. Law enforcement was there immediately, and our relationships that we build with law enforcement was great. And they've actually been reinforced because it provided an opportunity to continue conversations on where there may have been gaps and what more we can do. So in that respect, it's great. But as you indicated, there is an impact. And impact other than the anxiety and the fear and the disruption is that the JCCs and the Jewish Federations have now had to put a greater priority on security, which means, directing more of your financial resources to security, which means taking it away from other services and programs, reaching out to community members for additional assistance. Some JCCs have assessed a security sort of added charge to their membership, not a great amount, but enough to cover. Others have tried to reach out to, for other resources from the state or on national level, and unfortunately, you know, that's a limited amount. But the worst is really the economic impact that we're now seeing in that people who have their children in the day camps, and the day camps in the summer are a huge financial resource for all our JCCs. They're pulling their kids out because they feel that those kids are in danger. And that means that we're losing a lot of financial resources. We're losing a lot of support and ability to provide services. And we're hopeful that the fact that an individual was apprehended will now deter others from doing the same. But there's no doubt that the problems still exist. Certainly the evils of having a computer world is hacking, but these threats are also easy for those individuals who are well-versed and knowledgeable in terms of using the computer.
And we often dismiss hate as ignorance, but that ignorance can have guile, I guess would be the word, to it, not necessarily intelligence, to empower the evil to do what that individual did in Israel. We're talking with Jacob Toporek, who is the executive director of the New Jersey State Association of Jewish Federations, also a founding member of the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition, NJIFC.org, and JewishHeartNJ.org. Yes, those links are over on our page. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm glad you mentioned, too, about the plans and the policies, the programs, and the defense that is put into place in these Jewish centers, because us on the outside looking in, we see the videos of the orderly evacuations and the getting the kids and seniors to safe areas, and it looks like that went rather well. But it wouldn't take a lot for a panic to happen and a child to be injured or a senior to have a medical event in a stressful situation, that these programs, the way they sound and the way they've been executed, it really sounds like you really have taken everything into account so it happens smoothly and safely.
Yeah, and even though that occurs, I've heard stories where young people, children in the day schools and in the morning programs, and everything would run smoothly at the JCC. But when they got home, you know, they'd have these conversations with their parents, and they'd express fears, and am I going to be safe, mommy? Should I be doing something else, or it's really very, very difficult, and certainly you're right about senior citizens. A lot of them, which are frail, and they come to our JCCs to be able to participate and have a social life, and certainly one of these incidents, and I haven't seen this so far, but. It is possible that there can be a traumatic event with one of these individuals because of these threats. And God forbid, one of these threats is real. And, in the past, we've had some of those as well. Fortunately, the bomb threats were all false alarms, but we have to be vigilant at all times.
Yeah, there's an old axiom that the one who says it is never going to be the one that does it, but there's always that exception to the rule, unfortunately. And we've seen the governor announced this a week or so ago that the state police, the Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness, they were increasing patrol efforts. Attorney General's office now offering a $10,000 reward for tips that help authorities solve hate crimes, because even though there is that arrest of that teen in Israel, it doesn't resolve all of the telephone threats, and certainly doesn't resolve the vandalism we've seen in the Jewish cemeteries in, I believe it's 8 different locations now, if I remember the count correctly. So this is where we are. What is your hope as far as moving forward off of all this?
I just want to say that I'm glad you mentioned the actions of Homeland Security and the governor. And the State Association of Jewish Federations is the government affairs and advocacy arm of all the Jewish federations in the state of New Jersey. And we've worked hard for a long time to actually get the governor to move forward on these grants that he announced the other day, the $1 million grant program. And we're really very, very thankful to him. We've developed a great relationship with Homeland Security in the state of New Jersey, and they work with us in our communities. I just can't tell you. There's no higher level, there's no better partners that we have in terms of security and vulnerabilities of our community than Homeland Security. They even come out and do risk assessments for nonprofits, houses of worship, Jewish community centers. So it's really a great relationship. But the important thing to note is that our governor is a really good example for others who are elected to high office that words alone aren't good enough. What you need is action. And he's come forward. I mean, the beefing up of the anti-bias units in the Attorney General's office, beefing up of the anti-terrorist units within the prosecutor's office, the $10,000 reward, speaking out whenever he can, condemning anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and other acts of hate and bigotry. That's very, very important. So I think we in New Jersey are lucky to have those type of people. I think that he sets a good example and for others. And I think that the only way to reduce what I believe exists throughout the country is this divisiveness, more willingness to give way to your prejudices and your biases. Has to be fought and condemned at the highest level, and we look to our leaders to do that.
And really at all levels, too. I mean, if you have your coworker or even your family member who says something totally ignorant as far as any faith bias or prejudice is concerned, you could play a role in the cure, too, by, as an individual, take that person aside and say, you know, that was really something hurtful and stupid that you said, and here's why that is.
And absolutely. If you have any information on the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition, certainly that has been one of our major initiatives, the Stand Up for the Other pledge that we've asked people to take. And that's basically, as you said, when somebody says something negative about your religion, your ethnic background, your place of origin, your gender, you do. You try to talk to them and you stand up for those who are being criticized. Things should not be said negative of an individual because of who he is or what he is and where he comes from. There should be a mutual respect. And so we've tried to emphasize that. We actually, I was pleased to be involved in this, is we got the members of the State Assembly and the State Senate to, on one day together, to sign a pledge and take the pledge verbally and orally in public to stand up for the other.
If you can get the State Assembly and let State House fully cooperate on anything, you qualify to be a miracle worker in that case. So.
Look, in a sense, I think that the State Association, my colleagues and partners on the New Jersey Interfaith Council, are pledged not only to stand up for the other, but are pledged to move forward to this and make it happen. And as you say, to be miracle workers, but it really doesn't take a miracle. It just takes the ability to make people want to respect each other, to know that we're all here to work together, and that we're all, you know, we're all subject to the same conditions. So why not make this a warm and inviting place to live?
And certainly a coalition can indeed defeat evil and bring intelligence to the ignorant, and that is part of the mission of the New Jersey Interfaith Coalition. Learn more at njifc.org. We've been joined by the founding member, as well as executive director of the New Jersey State Association of Jewish Federations. Their website is jewishheartnj.org. Jacob Toporek, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, for being here today.
Great, thank you. And thank you for raising the awareness that, one, the coalition exists, but, two, that we can join together and fight evil and bigotry and hatred and faith-based violence.